Okay, some of your comments here. A recent herd dementia described as diabetes 3. Would your guest agree with that? Sorry, that came in a little bit late. How important is the therapy of familiar music to the dementia patient? Well, that hotline, that is really good for you to ring that helpline as well to ask questions like that. In relation to the referendi, Greg cutting God out of the picture once again. If we'd bring God back into our lives and live as he intended, there would be less confusion and a happier world generally. I suppose that's your God and everyone. There's so many gods out there. Why are women protesting about it? Don't believe anything politicians tell you. After women through the years fought to get us so many rights, it's all going to change now. Only knows what the Oireachtas will change it to as it goes along. Men will be able to go into women's refuge. Yeah, women being removed. I don't see how the men could go into women's refuge. There is refuge for men as well too. Men can and be and are the victims of domestic violence, if that's what you're referencing. What happens if you live with friends? Does that make them your family? Well, it depends how close you are. I think you have to be intimate with them. Greg, why doesn't she say it out plain? Same-sex couples instead of durable couples. That's why people don't know what to vote. Well, you see, same-sex couples probably isn't inclusive enough language nowadays. So that's probably the reason. Just coming through the north, didn't go... Sorry, okay. That's just why they didn't get a message a little earlier on. My dad was a fireman for 30 years and I would not follow in his footsteps because the job wants you to not have a life, so you're there on call 24/7. Some people can't talk about their feelings or seek counselling and feel like the bottle is the answer. My brother tried to follow in his footsteps and was 2 kilometres outside the bracket. And when you're in a job like that, you feel you can't leave, can't relax because you're waiting on the bleeper to go off. Well, hopefully now the changes that have been made, which are quite significant in terms of money and other things, your week on, flexible week off, that make it more attractive than it would have been when your father was there. Greg, you told a listener who denies climate change that if you go online, you can get any information to match your point of view. By the same token, you said that you read a report that electric cars are better for the environment in the long run than a petrol or diesel. What makes you so sure the report you read is the correct one? Just saying absolutely nothing. That's why I don't ram my views down people's throats. Everyone is entitled to their own point of view. I was just quoting some science that I read. Okay, let us go now to... Barry Quinn, who's owner of Portnew Market Garden. Barry, can you hear me? Good morning to you.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Ah, yeah, I can. Good to have you on board. Thanks so much for joining us. From, of course, Donegal, owner of Portnew Market Garden. And you've been expressing your concern about the increasing evidence showing that weed killer is damaging to our health and devastating to our environment. And our council is one of, not all of them, that's still using harmful substances. And there is very strong evidence and directives and what have you that suggest some of this stuff we're using shouldn't be used at all. So you've been digging into this. Tell us your views.
Yeah, so there's something I've been quite passionate about for many years now. I've been talking about it and making people aware of it for a long time. There's a statistic I like to give people straight away, and it's very worrying that 24% of Irish people have got the active ingredient that's in Roundup. It's called glyphosate. It's in their systems. That's from research done by the University of Galway carried out in 2022. That figure is actually 80% in the United States. You know, it's worrying numbers. You know, it's something that we should really be made aware of and something that we should be concerned about. There's mountain evidence, as you say, that this is a hugely damaging and dangerous product to be using in and around our towns and in our villages. And, you know, we should really make a stand, and we can make a stand. Like Cork County Council have already last year have really kind of led the way. Their roadside teams have stopped using it all along the edges of the roads and pathways. And it's been great success, you know. There's really scary evidence.
Well, we'll get to that. We're real laggards up here, though, because the last stats I saw, the council was spending over €80,000 a year on these chemicals that are sort of classed as toxic weed killers. And also sprayed on public areas, roads, and what have you across Donegal. Now, from time to time, you see someone out doing this and they're in a hazmat suit, effectively, and all protected. But there doesn't seem to be any signage up. The road's not closed. There's dogs could be walking down there 5 minutes later. Kids running through grass. You know, it's like really, really worrying. Even if you don't dig into the, even if you don't do a deep dive into the science, there's something fundamentally wrong there, isn't there?
Absolutely, I totally agree with you. Yeah, so it's apparently okay for councils to go through playgrounds and roadsides and spray this without any signage, and it can be as fresh as an hour on, and then the children could come into a park and play. And that's something, as you say, it needs to be looked at. It needs to be, something needs to be changed here, because it's too dangerous. It can't happen. It can't go on like this. You know, as I say, with Cork County Council, they have really started this motion, like, you know, and I think that Donegal, the people of Donegal needs to be made aware of the dangers of this. And then we could be, you know, one of the counties that leads the way now too, you know.
Glyphosate, is that the particular concerning chemical that is found in Roundup and others? And you know, there's been, not here, but there's been some really high-profile challenges to its use in the United States, if I recall correctly.
That's correct, yeah. The makers of Roundup and glyphosate are Bayer. You might see pharmaceutical products of theirs at home, you know. They bought a company called Monsanto back in 2018, who were the main producers of this. They've had mounting court cases against them throughout the years. In 2022, they paid out $11 billion. Only last week, they paid $2.25 billion to a man in Pennsylvania who developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from using this. And this evidence is backed up by research carried out. There was research carried out by a professor in the University of Washington. Her name is Leanne Shepherd, and her and her team carried out a study on the correlation between glyphosate and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the conclusion was that there was a compelling link between the two. So, you know, this is the worrying part of it, that it's still being used here. And even after last year, in October last year, there was a vote in the European Commission as to whether or not to ban it or to renew the license for 10 more years. And after to-ing and fro-ing, and there wasn't a qualified majority of the vote, it was actually put through and voted for another 10 years. So that's why I've taken it on myself, and that's why I started this petition to say, well, if we're not going to get it stopped on a big scale like in Europe, so bit by bit, and maybe council by council in Ireland, we can make a big impact for our own health and for the environment too.
But what an opportunity for the likes of Donegal to put itself out there as, you know, a leader of change. You've referenced Cork there, and I'm sure Cork's been quoted in interviews and articles all over the place. I mean, you know, our greatest asset is our beautiful landscape and environment. You know, turn a negative into a positive. We should be really sort of using this as a platform to show the type of county we are and where we want to be.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. That was the same feeling I had when I decided to do this. Maybe we could be one of the leaders in this in Ireland and show the way for the other counties to follow suit. And you know, who knows, you know, in a year or two's time from now, maybe the majority of the councils in Ireland, or hopefully the majority of the councils in Ireland, maybe have done away with using this harmful chemical, you know.
Are there alternatives, effective alternatives?
Well, so there is alternatives. It's just hard for a lot of people to get away from the fact, and I have this conversation with so many people all the time, they're saying, but it's very effective. It's about changing your mindset as well towards this. You know, the most important thing is that this is a damaging chemical and it can harm you and it can harm the environment. But there is alternatives. And for councils, there is, you know, there's a website called PAN, it's Pesticide Action Network. And they actually have a lot of information and guidance on how councils can get away from using them. So there is alternatives, yeah. There is most certainly.
You know? I wonder what was spraying on the knotweed, because I believe there was I find it hard to judge time now, because there was like 2 or 3 years that is like purgatory, but that Donegal County Council were leading a study on the use of different chemicals for Japanese knotweed, which we know is invasive, really hard to shift. I mean, what was being sprayed on that? Also, Barry, what are we trying to control? Right, that's another thing that I'm interested in here. What are we spraying? What is the local authority spraying the likes of Roundup or similar chemicals on? Like, what are we sure that what we're killing we want to kill. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's a big move at the moment for wild sown fields and stuff. Do you know what I mean? They're not offensive. They're really quite beautiful and really good for the environment. So, like, what are we trying to kill with this stuff? What are we controlling?
So as far as I know, and the way I see it, it's all about convenience. It's about doing edges of roads to save an extra bit of labor, or they're spraying them in underneath slides and swings in parks, right, so they don't have to strim and stuff like that. But again, it comes down to how we view, as you say, like a meadow of grass. You know, if you view it differently, we've been told that a dandelion, for instance, is this invasive, terrible weed. But in actual fact, if you do a little bit of research, it's an amazing plant that has a lot of health benefits. All of it is edible, and it is hugely beneficial to soil. But funnily enough, Roundup have used the dandelion as a picture on their bottles, as we need to get rid of this weed. But it's, you know, the weed that's growing in your garden is not doing as much harm as spraying a chemical onto your garden.
Yeah, it's really quite interesting because, you know, people will know in towns and villages around the county that beautiful trees were butchered effectively. And it was like, why? I remember everyone's going, why was it? Well, it turned out it was because of maintenance and not having the budgets to maintain them. We're using these weed killers to limit maintenance. We don't put in public toilets, really. Let's just be honest. We try and avoid public toilets because really it's a problem to maintain them. And we're taking bins out of areas because people put rubbish in them and then you have to empty them, and that's maintenance as well. You know, there's an awful lot of strange decisions, and I'm not attributing all of these to the council or any individuals within the council, but we do make a lot of decisions which are detrimental, it would seem, based on not wanting to invest in maintenance and upkeep.
Well, that's what it seems like with this as well. Yeah, it's about being able to get out and do a quick job on the edges of the road so that they don't have to pay more. Undoubtedly, that's what it seems like. It's the quick, it's the convenient option. But again, if people are made aware of this, and the councils are made more aware of how detrimental it is for our health and for our environment, then, you know, perhaps a big change could be made, and it needs to be made, you know.
Mm. And also, like, just to reiterate, we don't really know. You don't know when this has been sprayed. You don't know where it's been sprayed. You don't know if you're walking through it. You don't know if your pet is walking through it. You don't know if the dog is chewing the grass. You don't know if your kids are pulling dandelions out and sniffing them just after they've been sprayed. Like, we simply don't know. I'm not trying to scaremonger, but there is a complete absence of public knowledge of this. All we know is that €85,000 was spent on these chemicals by the council. And this was the figures published in 2022. So presumably that covered 2021. So this is very recent history, unless something's changed drastically since. So if you want people to come on board with you and say, right, I'm a bit concerned about this, I don't like what's going on, you have a change.org petition up, which they have to come up with a different way of sorting this. I'd love to read for the lulls the URL, but unfortunately it's a full paragraph long. So if people want to sign this petition, what's the most convenient way for them to get access to it?
So on my social media platforms, it's on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. It's in my bio. The link is there to get on it. I'd be sharing it regularly as well. So it's only a few clicks if you feel strongly about it. I mean, I always say, like, ask any parent, do you want your child in a park that this has been sprayed? And going back to a point you made there, Greg, you don't know when it's been sprayed. Usually this takes over 7 days before it starts to discolor. So, you know, there's 7 days there that it's very fresh on the ground. And as you say, pets could be through it and your children. And
I don't so like some, using this stuff at home. I just don't like it. And I'm not on about the Roundup, but, you know, the commonly available stuff. You know, by the time you put on your goggles, your mask, your gloves, you know, you think, well, what the hell is in this? And that's just on a domestic sort of basis. Right. If people want to get more information, you can search Barry Quinn on socials. But there's a bit of a curveball in that you spell your first name a little bit different than people might presume. So it's not Barry, it's Barrie.
Yeah, but it's Port Newmarket Garden is all my socials.
Right, Port, you know, Newmarket. What? And just go to Port Newmarket Garden. Okay. Right, anything you want to add, Barry?
I this is something I've been very passionate about again, and I love spread, and I really want to thank you for bringing me on here because, you know, the people that are making the decisions, like in Europe and that, are powerful people, and they're in powerful positions, and although they're making these decisions, they're not always right. And you would know this, Greg, they're not always right. And so I think it's up to people like myself and people like yourself to that are in positions where we can speak to a wider audience and we can create awareness and make it aware that this is something that we can change and hopefully we can make a change for the better.
And if you glance over the arguments that are made, how they're being pitched, where they're being pitched, and then you look at the court cases and how they're being settled and what's being said. If you do a deep dive into it a little bit, you don't even have to go too deep. It does feel very reminiscent of cigarettes and other things like that, you know, where people are saying, right, we can get another 10 years out of this and then we'll get out. All right, so people just need to be careful and, as always, stay informed. Barry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Barry Quinn, owner of Port New Market Garden. If you want more information, Port New Market Garden. Now, the figures I'm quoting were figures that were published late 2022 in terms of the council's purchasing of pesticides and other chemicals. We'll make an inquiry to find out if that's changed or not. I don't want to do the council a disservice if they've changed their... if they change their practices, I'll give that equal platform as well. But that's off the back of... the concerns there. Hi, Greg. Can you recommend an organic weed killer that works, please? I can't, but I know our fantastic listeners on the 9 till noon show can. So what, and I would be really interested in this as well. I don't like the weed killer. I just don't like using it. I don't like it around the house. I don't like spraying it. So what is a good way to suppress, kill weeds that is organic and works? Now, the thing is, everything takes time. Like, weed killer takes a couple of weeks to work, doesn't it? But is there an organic alternative? A listener wants to know. I ain't gonna lie, I want to know. Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Okay, you're welcome back to the program. We welcome onto it now, Kathy. Good morning, Kathy. Listening perhaps to that last conversation with interest.
Yeah, I was listening to it and I heard about the spraying and all, and I was diagnosed last year in July with a thing called hairy cell leukemia. Mm-hmm. And it was something, it was a bit of a shock, and it was something I didn't know much about. And when I looked up, how did I get this, and it's not hereditary or that type of thing, but some of the research would suggest, there's been nothing, you know, concrete, but it would suggest that it may be caused by pesticides or sprays or that type of thing.
Can you tell us a bit can you tell us a little bit more about the condition? As you say, it's very rare. I hadn't heard of it before either.
Oh, have you not?
No, hairy cell leukemia. No, I haven't.
Hairy cell leukemia is my white blood cell count had been low for a good number of years. Certainly since 2019, it was going down pretty rapid, and then I had headaches, a lot of pain, muscle tiredness, a lot of different stuff going on, and my white blood cell count was very low. Then about a year and a half ago, I got this purple sort of a blotchy rash on my face. Mm-hmm. And I didn't pay much heed, thought, well, spots or whatever. But eventually I went to the doctor and it was thought to be rosacea. I got cream for it and it got worse. It got actually pretty painful. Mm-hmm. So then I was on ivermectin, and I can't remember the name of the antibiotic, and I took those for 3 months, and it healed the rash a bit or whatever, but it didn't totally go away. Then last year in May, I got my bloods done again after the 3 months of the treatment, for my face was up and my white blood cell count had dropped dramatically, that my immune system was very low. So I was with the hematologist on a Thursday. I was in on a Monday morning for a bone marrow biopsy at Letterkenny Hospital. And 2 weeks later, I got my diagnosis of hairy cell leukemia. It's where these cells, they're a clone cell. They overproduce themselves within the bone marrow and then they crowd out the production of good cells. Mm. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
They're invasive cells, really, effectively. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're a clone. Mm. They're a clone type. You know, I'm a great one for reading into stuff and researching and looking and checking out or whatever. But basically, they're a clone cell and they take over where your good cells are produced in your bone marrow and all like that. And then they crowd it out and there isn't room So eventually then I had treatment at the end of September. Then I got neutropenic sepsis. I was allergic to some of the drugs that I was given afterwards. And I'm still trying to recover.
And like lots of people, you want to, well, where did this come from? Could my children be affected, or my sisters or brothers or whatever it might be? So we try and find out. And the first thing that seems to be suggested is that it has been linked to exposure to chemicals. And you would have used...
It's not saying for definite. Yeah. There's no definite reason. There's no definite cause or no definite reason why, but there's a suggestion there of it. And growing up on a farm, I would have been exposed to chemicals. Like there was even stuff they used to put on potatoes, to stop them budding, so it would last longer. That was a chemical. Myself, I would have used different weed killers, Roundup, and different stuff you wouldn't have thought or whatever. We didn't protect ourselves. We didn't put on a mask, put on gloves. I'd be very conscious now. I'd wear gloves. I'd be constantly washing my hands. I would wear a mask even if I was soaping my car to wash it, about inhaling that stuff. And I found it very interesting the way that, they do spray along the roads and the paths and all like that, and you'll be out walking or whatever, and you just don't think, but that's bound to linger in the air for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and again,
for me, really,
you just have to be extra careful now. And this is a condition that you will live with for the rest of your life. It develops slowly, but there are effective treatments. Is that the situation, Kathy?
Well, it developed very slowly with me, and I've had my treatment with 5 days of cladribine, and my immune system was totally depleted or whatever like that, and my faith and praying or whatever like that, and I would have great faith, and I would be praying very hard to the Holy Spirit and all like that, that I would get remission. And the doctor explained to me the last day that I was on, I'm having a bone marrow biopsy now in April again to see if it's gone. But he said even with that, because it can't be found, even if it's not found in April in my bone marrow or whatever, they couldn't say for definite that it's eradicated.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
It's one of those things that can come back again.
Yeah,
if there's the slightest symptom.
Yeah, has your symptoms eased somewhat though?
The headaches aren't as bad, but the treatment then has its own effects or whatever. Nerve pain, bone pain, sleepless nights, anxiety, everything else that sort of goes with it. I joined in a group, there's a hairy cell leukemia support group or whatever, and like every other support group, there's a lot of positivity to be taken from it. There's a lot of learning from reading stuff on it, and then there's all the negative side of it as well or whatever. I would debate sometimes if it's good to join these groups or not, because
But I think I think you've got your opinions too, Kathy. You sound like a person that has. So, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's like everything, and then people have their own takes and what have you. But listen, fingers crossed for April, and things going forward, Kathy. I hope you get good news, and I hope you're.
I also thought different times maybe on protecting yourself as well. I'm sure there must be other people in Donegal who've had a diagnosis of hairy cell leukemia. It would be nice just to, to put a face or to talk to someone who may have this hairy cell leukemia to see how other people got on.
Well, listen, they can contact us and we can check with them. And if you want to make contact with each other, we've done a lot of sort of awareness campaigns on many, many different things. And it may well have come up, but I just don't remember hairy cell leukemia coming up. It is pretty rare. But if you're happy enough, we'll invite anyone who's interested to contact us, and we can try and find a way for you to connect with them if that's what both parties want, if that would be useful for you, Kathy.
Yeah, I find that it's pretty rare, but sometimes things aren't as rare. It's just that, nobody highlights it, or there's awareness of it or whatever. More people than we know about.
Yeah, last week we were speaking about a condition, and the person with it, Addison's disease, actually it is, the person with it was of the opinion there was only two people in Donegal with it. And I think by the time the interview had ended, It was like there was about 10 people who'd said they had it in Donegal. So I imagine it's probably going to be quite similar with hairy cell leukemia.
Yeah, you know, just to say, how did treatment go for you, or what worked for you, or, you know, there's learning from each other, and the best learning I think you get is from people who understand you, that have been 100%. Through stuff themselves.
Exactly. Because no matter how sympathetic and caring those around us are, sometimes it's someone who's lived it and knows exactly what's going on that you can get a bit of comfort from. All right, Cathy, as I say, best of luck with April and beyond.
Thanks very much.
With your faith
speaking.
And what have you, you will get good news, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I did find it interesting today, and I just the awareness around the pesticides and stuff like that kind of thing, because if there's stuff out there, just awareness, I think, helps too.
For sure, and actually really useful to get some information on that condition. Thank you so much indeed, Cathy. A caller says it is some of the safest because it kills green plant it comes into contact with and does not leach. Okay. Glyphosate is probably, says a listener, the safest herbicide available when used correctly. And like any other chemicals, it is its improper use which leads to problems with its use. Okay, indeed. Thank you. Caroline on Facebook, in terms of sort of natural ways to kill weeds, pour 1 gallon of white vinegar into a bucket. 5% household white vinegar is fine. Add 1 cup of table salt. Stir in 1 tablespoon of liquid dishwashing soap, blend all thoroughly, and then funnel the weed killer into a plastic spray bottle. Pretty good weed killer, they say. So I presume, Caroline, you've used that. How long does it take to work and what have you? And is it useful sort of for the weeds on driveways and what and stuff? Right. The main ingredient in glyphosate is isopropylamine salt, which is an organic compound. And amine, sorry about my pronunciation of some of this stuff, which is a type of ammonia. Glyphosate is absorbed into the plant and is deactivated on contact with soil, so does not leach. It is a contact herbicide, indeed. But could there be cross-contamination walking through or touching it after it's been sprayed? I'm texting from Australia. I spent Christmas with my sister and her family in Donegal. Great. Thank you. Childhood lies. When I was 12, I bought a hamster with my confirmation money, named him Hammy. Was mad about him. One morning I woke up and Hammy wasn't in his cage. I was devastated. Went off to school. When I came home, Hammy was back in his cage. My father told me he had found him in a cupboard near the kitchen while I was at school. For years, I mean, up to my trip to Donegal, I believed that Hammy had been found and put back. It never dawned on me that Hammy wasn't actually Hammy, but a complete new hamster. We laughed so much about this over Christmas. I've just turned 50, so clearly I'm a bit thick. Please say hi to my lovely sister Mary and her family from Helen in Wollongong, South, New South Wales. Actually, that reminds me, when we were younger, pestered mom and dad for a budgie. Eventually we got a budgie, and it was in a cage downstairs. And it's wonderful and terrible at the same time, but we spent so much time trying to get it to speak. I'm not sure budgies can speak or whatever, but anyway, that didn't work. But we'd get up early and it feels like I'm doing that with Hudson now, but we'd get down early and try and teach the budgie to speak. But anyway, that's not really the story. But older brother, I think it was an older brother, do you know those little eggs that you get at Easter time, the little hard-shelled eggs, the tiny little eggs? Well, they thought it would be funny to put a couple of these eggs in the cage. And we went down and so excited that the budgie had laid eggs. Never thought how that would be physically possible if there was only one budgie in there anyway. But for a couple of days was waiting on these little these little Easter eggs to hatch. And then I think someone took one out and ate it or something, and it was devastating. Funny, but it took a couple of days to get over. That was a bad prank, but fun at the same time. Interesting to look back on. And poor Hammy there. There's Hammy 1 and Hammy 2. This time it's personal. Anyway, any more stories like that from your childhood, share them to us on 086 60 25000. I made that story about the eggs and the budgie sound really sad. It wasn't sad. It was hilarious. It was funny. And we've laughed about it many times since. But anyway, that's the kind of prank Big Brothers can be responsible for. All right, so you're very welcome back to the programme, and we welcome into studio now Chris Ashmore. We're going to be talking about the Business Matters podcast shortly. Digital First Content, DFC. You can download it, stream it, listen to it right now on our website, highlandradio.com. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Interesting, actually, to hear this first item of news before we get into the podcast. Donegal's most popular car by make, model and colour for the first month of this year.
Yes, yeah, so I've been delving into the stats from the Society of the Irish Motor Industry. And, well, first of all, new car sales in Donegal, registrations in January amounted to 763 for the month. So that's 16% up on last year. So that's a good figure. The garages will be pleased with that. And nationally, it's up about 15%. So we're pretty much in kilter with the national figure. Although the national figure is actually slightly below the pre-COVID level. So still a little bit of catch up. But yes, now Donegal, first month of the year of 2024, the best-selling brand was Toyota, who had 17% of the market, followed by Kia, and then we had Hyundai third, Skoda was fourth, and Peugeot was fifth. I can make up the top 12 if you want.
Well, no, we'll stick it at that.
We'll stick it at that, okay. And then now, the actual most popular model of car registered in Donegal in January was the Kia Sportage, 67 of them registered.
In America, they call them the Kia Sportage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you call it the Sportage?
It's called
the Sportage. Sportage.
And then we had the Toyota RAV4 with 31 and the Peugeot 3008 with 27.
So the top three selling cars are all SUVs, which is kind of interesting.
It shows the way things have gone. Yeah. And five of the top 10 models were Toyota, which is significant. And just, you know, you might want to know that 32% of those registered in January were petrol, 27% diesel, and 24% hybrid petrol electric, which is sort of the big growth area because we're seeing not that many pure electric in Donegal because the hybrid electric gives you that little bit of option.
And there's the mild diesel hybrid as well, which I don't think goes into those
figures. Not as many.
And electric vehicles percentage-wise, sort of standalone electric vehicles?
The standalone ones, it's about 7%, so it's not that. Yeah. Right. Now, colour is interesting. Grey, the most popular choice. Now, when they say grey, that takes in silver. So silver grey, 36% of all new registrations. So
red's
dominant.
Next, is it?
No, white stroke ivory,
18%,
and then black, 16%.
Right. Black cars are hard to keep clean.
Yes,
just staying
indeed
on that, a listener says, I got my renewal in for my private van. It was €644. When I rang up the company, the best they could do was €600. So I said, I'll get back to you. So I did an online quote for the same company. It came back at €490. So I rang up and told the lady the story. After she put me on hold for 28 minutes, I got it for €477. Just to say, patience pays off. So they went from 644, the renewal, down to 477 with the same bloody company. Yeah. But anyway, okay. Right, big plans in Falkara?
Yes, good news story was reported in the Business Post. A Falkara-based tech company called Celsius set to invest in the region of €5 million in an expansion program that will lead to around 30 new jobs. Now, they manufacture wireless temperature monitoring systems. So a lot of these are for food display and storage. They signed a deal with Tesco last year, supplying 112 Tesco stores, so somebody somewhere can see what the temperature is of all the units. So they have a number of new products coming on stream in early 2025, so they're expanding rapidly. So a great little success story there.
Brilliant stuff. And units of housing next, 88 for Letterkenny.
Yeah, plans in the pipeline for the construction of 72 houses and 16 apartments in the Creve Smith area of Letterkenny. And this follows on from an application some years ago. So the updated one is from George Doherty Construction Limited. It's currently with Donegal County Council. But that's quite a significant number, 72 houses and 16 apartments in the planning process.
All right. And the Donegal Women in Business Network, they have a workshop upcoming.
They do indeed. Wednesday, the 21st of February, and it's a workshop all about numbers. Things that will be discussed will be, should you register for tax? You'll learn about VAT, how to minimise your tax liability, all sorts of things like that. And it'll be led by Risa Feeney, who's the founder and CEO of Accountant Online. It's a full day workshop, so you'll find more details on that on the Donegal Women in Business Facebook page, or indeed on their website as well.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, let's get down to the business of the podcast. Who's your guest this week, Chris?
My guest this week is a young woman called Hannah van der Walt, who came to Donegal 3 years ago from South Africa, initially planning to stay just 1 year. Her husband got a job here, and 1 year became two, 2 years became three, and just before Christmas, in October, in fact, she went into business herself and opened her Bloom coffee shop in Letterkenny. So a nice little journey from South Africa to Letterkenny.
So the initial plan was to come here for 1 year. My husband got a job offer in Letterkenny, and we said we are young, we don't have kids or pets, so we're going to see how it goes. And 1 year turned into two, and two turned into three, and now we are here. And Letterkenny has been really good, very welcoming to us. So we are happy to be here. So my husband came on a critical skills permit, so I was allowed to start working immediately. And I said, I want to work in a coffee shop. I like hospitality. I want to see what the culture is, how the people are, just to get to know the people and the community. And I got a job in another coffee shop in town, where I started working. And I said to the owner one day, I want to open my own coffee shop. It's the plan to open a coffee shop one day. Not the intent, maybe not Letterkenny. And it just happened.
Okay, what an interesting story. And you can hear much more of it in the full podcast available for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com. You can choose to download or stream it from that platform. And it should also be up on Spotify or iTunes right now as well. And broadcast, of course, live, although pre-recorded, but broadcast on the airwaves on Sunday, Chris.
That's right, on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news. And you can contact me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Chris, thank you very much indeed. That is Chris Ashmore there, and we'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after these. Now, we received correspondent from a listener, and the whole letter is on our social media. I can't go through it all now because time wouldn't permit, but it reads as follows to begin with. I know that you've helped others before and given them the right resources and advice to help. I'm at my wit's end. I'm the eldest in my family and unfortunately never met the right person to settle down with. That is until 2 years ago. I've been dating my partner for 2 years and it's all going smoothly. My mother's in her late 70s and relies on me a lot. I've always been a mommy's girl and always felt that we've an unbreakable bond. My mother's health has deteriorated in recent years. As I live closest, I'm tasked with minding her. I enjoy her company, but my God, it is tough now that she's started to dote, has become frail and forgetful, and just generally needs more help. I have three other siblings, one who lives a 15-minute drive away, but is very preoccupied with his job, so he makes excuses that he's too busy to take mum for a driver or even just take her to the shop for the essentials. I find this behaviour to be totally selfish. My other sibling lives in Galway with three young children, so I understand it would be difficult for them to care for mum due to the distance. My other sibling lives an hour's drive away, but also has a young family. Managing family life can be tough. Not only, though, would a monthly visit help mum, but grandchildren love their grandparents. I feel that my sister is making them miss out by not bringing them to visit mum. I've cared for and visited mum for years, the most 4 years, as I'm the most readily available with the least commitment out of all of my siblings. Why does the responsibility of caring for a parent always fall on one person? Any advice? And I've kind of skipped through some of that, but I hope the correspondent understands. It is a familiar story. A lot of people out there will go, you know what, that's very similar to my experience. Beth Fitzpatrick is a psychotherapist and has accepted our invite to come on and talk about this. As I say, Beth, good morning to you. And not an unfamiliar story, I would say one that an awful lot of people listening can relate to.
That's right, Greg. And, you know, in our service, like in Crumlin, we see a lot of people that are in the cut in the same situation. And basically, I know you're stuck for time and coming up to news.
Well, we've 7 minutes, so take your time.
I'm going to find help with Lady. Yeah, she's really, really a beautiful person. Listen, reading her letter, she's a beautiful person. She has been so good to her mother, and she's not even been too hard on her siblings. But the thing is, people will take as long as you give. It's not because they're bad. I was taught that a long time ago. So it's up to her to say, look, I love you, ma'am, but I mightn't be able to come every day. And it's when we continue to do something, people expect it. It's not that our siblings are bad, they're just used to her doing it. Mm. So it's like saying to them, do you know something? I can't do this all the time. I'm going to need some help. I can't do it alone. You can never make somebody do something. So it's not to lose faith with them. It's to say, look, I can't. If you ask for help, if I say to my family, look, I need some help with this, I can't do it. Can you help me? It works better than say, oh, you'd never help me. And, you know, it's like saying the right words.
So how do you overcome, though, the argument, well, I live far away, I've got young kids, it's hard for me to get up and down, or the other siblings saying, well, I'm really busy, you know, yeah. And you've got no kids and you live right beside mum. I mean, you have to stand up for yourself and look after your own health and mental well-being, don't you?
Yeah, I agree with you, but even in our letter, she says, even a phone call.
Yeah.
And she's also right in saying, grandchildren need their grandparents. Mm. I mean, I'm a grandmother myself, and I know it's so good for them to see a different part. And it's like saying, and all she wants, even a phone call from the one that lives in Galway. I mean, I think she's been so, so
reasonable.
Good. Mm. I think this lady deserves a huge medal, I mean, for what she's done. But she, at some stage, it's as long as I remember years ago when I used to do things for everything for my children. And then I learned this theory of taking care of myself as well. So I said to them, I'm sorry for continuing to do this. I'm not going to do it anymore. And like they didn't. It was only I changed. By her change, and she can help. And it's only little steps.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe saying to her sister, I'm not going to be there this Saturday. I'm hoping one of you will step up.
And you suggest a WhatsApp group. A WhatsApp group would be a good way of communicating.
100% a WhatsApp group would be, she might have that already, but put the mother on the WhatsApp group.
Mm-hmm.
And no, not the mother, just the three of them. Because I do that with all my siblings. And I mean, I often had that, my mother is well past now. But like that, we all took days that we could go in, even if we lived far. And it's like, this woman has four children. You know, it's not like she has only one, she has four. And it's like we all, if I can get away with it, if I know somebody is doing it all the time, it's easy for me to sit back and say, that's your job, I can't do that.
So, but it's that easy. Might not be, you're saying that might not be motivated by badness. That might be just Sir Mary's up beside
no.
Mum. She can look, yeah.
She can do everything. She can do everything. And they rely, you know, say for example, you're giving somebody something every week and they take it for granted that it's going to be there.
Mm.
It's like the same thing. You go to see somebody every day. And if you don't turn up, they're going to be annoyed at you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like saying to mum, I know I've always doing it, but I do have a life as well and I'm not going to make it every day. And the mother might be demanding because she's learned. At the same time, wouldn't it be lovely if one of them went up with the children? Even say, I'll do it on a Saturday, I'll do this. Even every other Saturday. She's only looking for them to come up once a month. I mean, my God, this girl is so patient. Mm. You know, I'd be looking for a lot more than once a month. You know, one of them is only an hour away.
15 minutes
woman,
away, 1 hour away. But say, for instance,
3 minutes away.
So to employ that advice, and hopefully it would resonate, Beth, there are also,
yes.
and people do be reluctant to bring in outside help that's not family, but there are services there in the meantime, in the interim, that could give this brilliant daughter a little bit of time to herself, a bit of respite.
Absolutely. I have helped so many people in Access Counseling where we are over the years. Help them to stand back and learn them that it's not their fault that they've done this. She's a caring type. She's a first child. Usually the first child takes on everything. But it's too much for them. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to let go and say, look, I know I've done it. And she also adores her mother. You can see that.
Yeah.
But it's about standing back and saying, I can't do it every day.
I'm so
glad she's met somebody.
And in challenging that, Beth, she shouldn't feel guilty or selfish for thinking those thoughts.
You know what I would do? I would send any guilt she feels on a very slow boat to China.
I agree. Because I think you can have a conflict of emotions there, can't you? I shouldn't feel like
this. You can. And the guilt is not a bad thing. It can teach us right from wrong.
Yeah.
It can teach us, you know, it's a very normal feeling. But when she feels that guilt, just say, no, I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go with love. I love my mum. I've done so much. Mum, I can't do it every day. I know I'm always there. And even though our mother is dead, it looks like she can look and also look out for outside help. Yeah. Like, okay, what's in the community? Is there neighbours? Is there people that can pop in? Yeah. Is there Meals on Wheels? Is there, like, help from the local community?
Yeah.
You know, the local resources.
Listen, Beth, there's some love, brilliant advice in there, but I think this is actually, especially given the reaction, is something we're going to have to dedicate actually quite a bit more time to, because there's an awful lot in here and an awful lot of people in the same boat.
Yeah.
But I think for now, you've given our listeners some really encouraging words and some really good advice and something to work with, Beth. And I would love to follow this up with you at a later date. But for now, have a wonderful day. And thank you so much,
Greg.
Beth. That's our fault
because I couldn't get to you sooner.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Beth Fitzpatrick there. A caller says, my story exactly, no recognition from the government either whatsoever. And another, the moral of this story is very common. I can look after five growing up, but five cannot look after the one when they get older. All right, and on that note, and that's something we'll probably return to. Keep your texts and calls coming in, by the way. The lines remain open. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Back tomorrow at 9. John Bresson's up next around the Northwest.